Hey, good morning. Welcome to our next installment of Faith Bible Church Home Edition, and we're going to be continuing on in our study of the Book of Philippians today. Last week we had a great time, and especially being Easter Resurrection Sunday, and the passage that we're in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, where we saw where let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And it goes on talking about how God became man in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he took upon the form of a servant and came obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, this week we'll continue on with that and see how God highly exalts the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There truly is no other name, and we'll talk about that here in a bit. And so today we have three verses that we're going to go through and 3 points. We're going to look at verses 9 through 11, and verse 9 look at exaltation, verse 10 submission, and then verse 11 confession. And really this is a simple message, easy, straightforward, and understanding really what the name of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be in our life, and how that there is a day that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going confess. Let me go ahead and read the verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer and get started on what we need to see today. Again, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, it says this: "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." There is no other name. Before we get into this, before we have a word of prayer, it's just amazing to think we talk about somebody's name. Matter of fact, I was just watching a movie last night, and it was kind of one of those crime movies that's dealing with illegal gambling. Obviously, the industry that I'm dealing with, as far as my job and regulation, as far as casinos and that. It was an interesting movie to be able to watch. But at the end of that, the character, what she was concerned about was her good name. And I thought about that, and just obviously in regards to what I was going to be preaching this morning, and that is important that a lot of times people care about their name. Their name means something. So much so, you see, where people try to have their name go on forever, in the sense far as whether they have means and money, you know, and they donate money to a college or a university or something like that, and they will name that library, that building after them, or whatever the case is. Even, interesting enough, my family, the Boyd family, my dad's side, obviously, coming from Old Fort, North Carolina, there is a street that a lot of the family lives on, and they renamed the street Boyd Street. And so if you're ever in Old Fort, North Carolina, you can look it up, and you can see Boyd Street. And so people's name, it's important, but there is no other name greater than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this fact, matter of fact, and I said this before, you know, why is it that when the world, when they want to swear by something or cut somebody out or something like that, it's always Jesus Christ? It's never Muhammad, it's not Buddha, it's not any other founder of any religion or anything like that. Why is it Jesus Christ? You ever ask yourself that? Because there's something about that name. And so today we're going to look at the importance of that and understand, and I want people to understand that whether you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or you haven't, there will be a day that these verses will ring true, that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Obviously, you want to do that as a believer in Christ. You want to trust him now and not have to deal with that later, because obviously there are some serious consequences if you don't accept Christ as your Savior. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started on what we need to see in these three verses today. Father in heaven, again, we thank you and praise you for the day. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you for another week, another time that we're able to get in the Word of God. As always, I thank you for the technology that we have, the time that we live in, that we're able to do this under the circumstances that we're in with the social distancing and all that. It's hard. I know people, after so many weeks now, it's getting kind of antsy and being able to having to stay at home or go to work if they're privileged to continue to be able to be able to work, Lord. There's a lot of things that are going on that's hard to deal with. And Lord, I pray that this message would be something that will continue to still comfort our hearts. As much as we talk about your name and our accountability to it, Lord, I pray that it would be something that would be a comfort for us as we continue through this time, the strange time that we're living in. Father, help us to look to you. Help us to trust in your name. Help us to confess it and have it be real in our life and not in vain. So Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's jump into this. Going back to verse 9, it says this: "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Now, I want you to go back to Acts chapter 4. As you make your way there, we're dealing with the apostles and the church that is at Jerusalem, and this is not that long after Jesus Christ's resurrection and obviously ascended into heaven. And you see where Peter, James, and John, and the other apostles, they are meeting at the temple, and that the situation that is happening here is that there's a man who is impotent, which means that he is not able to walk, and he's begging Peter for money, and what happens is that Peter ends up healing him and being able to walk. Well, the Pharisees and the council that put Jesus Christ to death didn't like that, so they called for Peter, James, and John, and the apostles to answer for this, and I want to pick it up right in verse 6. We're going to look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 6 and read down through verse 12 and see what it says here. Now, again, Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 6, it says, "And Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power and by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner.'" He's referring to Old Testament prophecy dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter's very bold and saying, "Hey, you're the ones that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ." And he goes on in verse 12, it says this, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name." Just like I said last week, there's no other religion, there's no other person that can get you to heaven. It's about what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. It's confessing his name. You understand that he is Lord and Savior of your life. And Peter's very bold. I mean, he wasn't whimpering away or anything like that. "Hey, you want to know why this man is healed? You want to know by what name we've done this? The power of what name? Is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Peter says, "It has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with anybody else, no power of my own. It's dealing with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that healed this man, and there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." Again, there's no other person. All right, so let's go back to Philippians chapter 2 and continue on here in our next point and looking at verse 10 and talking about submission to this, and we'll spend a little bit more time here. And so again, reading from verse 9, it says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." Now, there's a few things that we need to explain here. But again, first and foremost, is seeing that it's going to be at the name of Jesus, that every knee is going to bow. Paul is referencing something that is prophesied back in the Old Testament. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 45, and see where this is first said. Isaiah chapter 45, we're going to look down in verse 23. Isaiah 45. Down in verse 23, the Lord is speaking, and it says this, "I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." All right, so that's the original verse that Paul is quoting here. And again, the Lord says that it's going to be, his word is true. And so that is going to take place, whether people like it or not. All those who are, say they're atheists, they don't believe in God, guess what? There's a day coming. If they don't accept Jesus Christ now, if they don't confess him now, they will confess. They will submit to him. They will bow to him. There is no exceptions. You go back to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says this. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Yes, this is literally true, what's being talked about. We can think and we can understand things in heaven, obviously. Heaven is actually a geographical location. We're not obviously able to get there at all, but it is a geographical location. Far above our universe, there is heaven. So things in heaven, there's angels, there's those who have died in Christ, those who that have confessed Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, that are in heaven now. They will come to the place. They will confess. They will submit to the Lord and confess. And so we have things that are on earth, the people that are on earth now, no matter what. At the time that the Lord comes back, whatever the case, and they're facing judgment, again, everybody here on earth is going to submit, they're going to bow the knee, and they're going to confess. But then it says things under the earth. It's like, well, what does that mean? Well, just as I said, heaven is a geographical location. Hell is as well in the center of the earth. I don't have time to get into all the references that deal with that. Again, if you have questions about that, I'm more than happy to answer that. But hell is in the center of the earth. I would say this, we probably know more about outer space than what we do about our own core of the earth, but the Bible is very clear that hell, or the underworld, is in the center of the earth. And it's not just a torment side that most people think about hell. There's also what's called a paradise side as well, and we see reference to that in the Bible. But I do want to take you over to Revelation real quick, just to give you another reference that talks about things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 5. Real quickly, what you have here in Revelation is where John, the same apostle that writes the Gospel of John, and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the Lord used for him to write Revelation. And the Lord catches him up, or shows him what's going to happen in dealing with the coming tribulation period and before the Lord comes back. And so he's up in heaven, and there's a book that is the book of life that nobody is able to open except for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in Revelation chapter 5, I just want you to notice what it says in verse 3. It says, "And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." Again, this is the book of life, and the context that's being talked about. And the only person that's able to open that book, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But I just want to show you that reference, because Philippians is not the only time you see that, where we're talking about things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. That's talking about hell, the underworld. So no matter where a person ends up, they will have to submit and to be able to confess to the Lord. Now let's look at verse 10 again. It says this, "That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." Now let's get a little bit closer to home and talking about for us as believers in Christ. At the point that this happens, now again, there are several different judgments in the Bible. But as believers in Christ, the judgment that is coming next for us is the judgment seat of Christ. Before this tribulation period that I mentioned briefly about in Revelation, where there's 7 years, where the first 3.5 years is false peace by one world leader and the Antichrist, I think we can easily see the world is fastly setting itself up for this circumstance. And before the Lord comes back, there's going to be a terrible tribulation period where the last 3.5 years of that 7-year period is literally hell on earth. It's the Bible describes it as the worst time this earth will ever see. As much as we're going through a tough time and a challenging time now, this is absolutely nothing to be compared to what's going to be taking place in the future. But for the believer in Christ, for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, the Bible is very clear that we will not be going through that tribulation period. We will be caught up or raptured out, and praise God for that. But when we are raptured and carried out of this world, we go immediately to the judgment seat of Christ, where we are judged for the service that we have done as believers. That's why you hear me so often talking about how God has a purpose for your life. We'll talk about that next week, the Lord willing, matter of fact, very specifically. But that God has saved us for a reason and left us here on earth for a reason, to be able to serve Him, not only just to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior now, but to serve Him, to be able to reach others. I want you to go back to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and we're going to pick it up in verse 9, and it talks about this coming judgment seat of Christ. And remember, the context is for us as Christians. We're not talking about everybody in the world at this point, just believers in Christ, all right? And so in Romans chapter 14, let's pick it up in verse 9. It says this, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set and not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us, as Christians, shall give an account of himself to God. You see, this whole idea of we're talking about that there's no other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that people can be saved by, his name, that we're going to have to, again, bow the knee and confess. For us as believers in Christ, again, there's this added aspect to where in dealing with that, when that day comes at the judgment seat of Christ, that we are confessing him as Lord and that we bow the knee, it's also giving account for our life. You see, that's why this is so important, and obviously, God and writing the Word of God, as we talked about last week, the importance of understanding what Jesus Christ has done for us, his death, burial, and resurrection, and how, again, that is how we are able to have eternal life, is followed up by these verses of understanding that we are going to have to submit to him, that we are going to have to bow the knee and confess, but also give an account as believers what we have done with our Christian walk. Again, sin was judged on Calvary's cross, but the judgment seat of Christ for believers is dealing with our judgment of our service. What did you do after you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? How did you serve the Lord? You see, it's not a matter of just getting saved and then you just go about your life. It's not about getting saved and you just do what you want to do. If we confess him as Lord, that means that he is the one that is our master. He is the one that's in control, and that we want to follow what our Lord is directing us and showing us to do. Now, I know that gets into a big other aspect, and again, we'll talk about it next week a bit. It's like, what in the world does the Lord want me to do? What is God's will in my life? And we'll talk about that more in detail next week. But right now, we need to understand, as believers in Christ, that we will give an account. We will bow the knee, we'll confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father, but we will also, at the judgment seat of Christ, be giving an account of how we served him as believers in Christ. I ask you this question. Are you serving the Lord? Or are you serving yourself? I think it's easy to see these days that people, that's what we do. We're selfish. We like to serve ourselves. We talked about that a few weeks ago as we started chapter 2 of Philippians. But we are going to have to give an account. And it should be a time that is a glorious time that we're able to say, hey, Lord, this is what I've done with the grace that you've given me, the salvation that you've given me, your name that I took upon me, Christian, all right, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what I've done in serving you. Now, let's jump back into Philippians chapter 2, and we'll pick it up going into verse 11. It says this, from verse 10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. No exceptions. And it says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everyone is going to confess that he is Lord. We have the opportunity to do that now. And so it doesn't matter for the person who is the agnostic. They don't know whether there is a God or not. The atheist that says there is no God. The people that say, well, yeah, that's you're a Christian, you follow Christ, yeah, that's good for you, but I'm doing my own thing. It's not going to matter. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Now, I want to go back to a reference that I missed earlier. I want you to go back to the Gospel of Matthew. And I want you to look in chapter 27. This is right before the Lord is going to be crucified. And I want you to notice what some soldiers did here. Because you know what? What these soldiers did to the Lord before he was crucified is really not that much different at all than what people do today. They mock the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 27, I want you to pick it up down in verse 29. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 29. Actually, let's pick it up in verse 27. Let's do that. Let's do Matthew 27 starting in verse 27. It says this, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered onto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. They bowed the knee. and they confessed, "Oh, hail, King of the Jews." But they were obviously mocking him. And it's a shame where there's so many people that mock the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see it in life, I'm sure. You see it with many people at work or family, friends even. You see it in the news. You can see it on TV shows, movies. That they mock the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost used as just a proverb, you know. Oh, that'll happen when Christ comes back. I understand that like he's never going to come back. Yeah, yeah, he is. By the way, there's more written in the Bible about Jesus Christ's second coming than his first coming. All right? He is coming back, and coming back soon. And every knee is going to have to bow. Every tongue is going to have to confess. Now, I hope it's not the case that even as believers in Christ, because we're not immune from this, that if we are not in the Word, if we don't continue to learn and grow in the Word of God, if we don't take our salvation seriously, we come to a place where we're just like the rest of the world, that we mock Him. You see, when we talk about taking Christ's name in vain, people have such a limited aspect and understanding of that, where they think it's just using Jesus Christ as a swear word, the whole Jesus H Christ. I don't know where the H comes from, but such a limited view. Yeah, obviously that's not a good thing to do. But when we talk about, oh, I'm a Christian, oh yeah, I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but our actions show something totally different, that's taking the grace of God in vain. That's taking God's name in vain. There's power in the name of Jesus. Oh, we sing these songs. There's so many hymns written about the power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It needs to be a reality in our life. I want you to go to Acts real quick. There's a couple other references we're going to look at, and then we'll be done here. But I want you to go back to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. This is when Paul is in the city of Ephesus. There's an incredible amount of spiritual warfare that is going on in that city. And Acts chapter 19 is just, there's so much. Take the time to go through it because there is a lot of detail that's going on in the spiritual warfare that's happening, where there's a guy that is possessed and he beats up seven guys that are trying to, exorcise him, you know, in the name of Jesus, interesting enough. They didn't believe in Christ, but they were doing it because Paul was preaching. We saw people in chapter 19 that are incredible that are getting saved, and that's where I actually want to pick up on. In Acts chapter 19, we'll start in verse 17. It says this: "And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." Again, his name, just like in Acts chapter 4 where we started this message. It says, "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds." They were all the kind of witchcraft and things that they're in. They were giving these books and burning them. They were confessing Jesus Christ as the Lord, confessing the things that they were doing. And so mightily grew the name of the Lord. Folks, we live in a time, again, I say almost every week, a strange, unique time that the whole world is focused on dealing with the coronavirus. Things are shut down. What an incredible opportunity that we as believers in Christ have to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As people are worried about maybe where their next meal is going to come from, are they going to be able to find work, having a hard time getting unemployment, I mean, all the things that are going on, concerned about family members, concerned about getting this virus, just all these things. What an incredible time that we have to be able to be a witness and a testimony, and that our life could magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only name given under hand to where men must be saved, need to be saved. It's that name. I used this obviously last week as we're talking about what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and suffering our death in hell, and he was buried and rose again the third day. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, this is, again, what everyone needs to do, and do it now, that can to be able to confess Jesus Christ as Lord now. Not when it's too late. When you're before the Lord at a particular judgment of dealing with the lost, and that you are having to bow the knee and confess that he is Lord to the glory of God, but then you're spending eternity in the lake of fire. The time to confess him is now. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says this: "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." No ifs, ands, buts about it. There's no maybe this will happen. No. If you confess him as Lord, you're going to be saved. Verse 10 goes on and it says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and what the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Every person that has lived is going to have to bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Everyone, no exceptions. It doesn't matter that you don't believe. You're going to have to do this. As a police officer, it's like you have the privilege of having a driver's license. It is on you to understand the traffic laws. If you get pulled over for speeding and say, well, I didn't see a speeding sign, I didn't know what the speed limit is, ignorance is no excuse. Denying the aspect, well, you know, I can just do what I want and drive how fast I want, you get caught, you're still going to be held accountable. Now, it's no different with the truth of the Word of God. You'd be, well, somebody didn't teach me, or I didn't know. Hey, one, Jesus Christ is the light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. John chapter 1 and verse 9 says that. No man's going to have an excuse. Romans chapter 1 talks about that. Nobody's going to be able to go to God and say, well, I just didn't know. I didn't have an opportunity. There's not going to be a person that's able to stand before the Lord and be able to say and give that excuse. Because the Lord is actively wanting and getting the message out there so people can confess Jesus Christ as Lord now. And you know what? As believers in Christ, God wants to use you in that. Again, we'll talk about that next week, how God wants to use us to be able to get the truth of the Word of God out there. And it all starts, a relationship with God all starts with confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That He's the one that paid the price, the debt for sin, for hell. And that you're trusting in Him and Him alone. You need to make that confession now. Now, there's one more reference I want to go to before we finish today. And give you an example as well, just out of my life some years ago. But I want you to go back to Psalms, verse 20. Psalm 20 and verse 7. Simple verse. And really, to kind of bring this home, again, there's not a lot to this message today. There really isn't. But the understanding that it's only through His name that we can have salvation, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's only there's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only to save us, but to be able to save us from the circumstances and the situations that happen today. And and really, we know that by, again, what does the Word of God say? What does it lay out for us to be able to apply? In Psalm 20 and verse 7, again, this is a psalm of David. David going through many battles and having many challenges in his life. I want you to notice what it says here in Psalm 20, verse 7. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now again, David's a mighty warrior, and you know, when we're talking about at that time, having horses and chariot was, man, that's the thing that you wanted in having an army and being able to deal with battles. And he had chariots and horses, man, that was in a sense almost like modern technology. But David is saying that like, some trust in those things, but what I'm going to trust in is the name of the Lord our God. His name is Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we talked about Jesus Christ being God, part of the Trinity, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, the three in one. They are God, one God. And Jesus Christ, His name is even a trinity of names. It's Lord Jesus Christ. Lord deals with His authority. Jesus deals with His humanity. His name, Jesus, means Savior. He understands everything that we go through. And then Christ deals with His deity. He is God. No matter the trying times that we go through, we need to remember the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has all authority. He understands our humanity, everything that we go through, and He is deity. He is God. He is on the throne. There is not a circumstance, there's not a situation that the Lord cannot see you through. It's an incredible name. It's His name. And we need to not take it in vain. And again, not just using it as a swear word. What I mean by that, if you accepted Jesus Christ, if you confess Him as Lord, we need to live by that name. We need to represent Him again. And how do we do that? By applying the truth of the Word of God, that we commit every day consistently, being in the Word of God, to be able to learn and grow, that God can use us to magnify His name in the lives of other people. Now, when I was just saved, again, I gave a little bit of my testimony last week. I was 19 years old. And those three of us that we were all Christians, we're all saved, and unfortunately one of the guys I'm talking about is no longer with us. He went home to be with the Lord a few years ago. His name is Donovan Bailey. He was an incredible percussionist, drummer, and somebody who know me know that I played professionally as well. And we had another guy named Eddie that also played drums. And I remember one time we went to a Dairy Queen, and we're just having a good time, and just good time being brothers in Christ, and just being able to share truth and be able to pray and that. And there's a particular person in that Dairy Queen. I think about it every so often, especially when I'm dealing with a message like this. That he made a comment. It's like, hey, this is not church. You guys need to be quiet. And we just kind of just didn't say much about it at all or anything like that. And we continued on doing what we're doing, just having fellowship, having a good time. And there was another particular lady that she was just thrilled that there was three young guys there that were believers in Christ, and she commended us on what we're doing. Now, as we got up and left, that guy that made a comment about us not being at church and we need to be quiet made another comment to the day. I don't remember what it was, but what came out of my mouth was Philippians chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. Without thought, it's like, hey, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For those who may be looking at this video on this, and you've never truly accepted Christ as your Savior, again, I talked about this last week, I'm talking about it again this week, it's important to understand. I'm more than happy to answer any questions you have to understand so that you can see how you can have eternal life, that you don't have to guess about it, you know, think, oh, well, I hope I've done enough. It has nothing to do with works. We talked about that last week. Jesus Christ has done the work. It's a matter of what it says in Romans chapter 10. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you confess that he is Lord. He is in control. Now, Christians, please understand. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the authority. He's the one that's in control. We couldn't do anything to save ourselves. Jesus Christ did it for us. And the circumstances that we go through now, guess what? It's the same Lord that wants to see us through, to save us and deliver us from the circumstances that we're dealing with now. Please don't just take it as a theory that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, or just say it's like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, yeah, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Is he really your Lord and Savior practically every day, that you're trusting in him? Or are you trusting in what this world has to offer? Are you trusting in what hopefully the government will do? Are you trusting in what the doctors or those experts and what they say and how we need to get through this current circumstance of COVID-19? I'm not trusting in those things. I'm trusting in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And no matter what happens tomorrow, no matter if it gets worse for my family, myself, whatever the case, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, that I have got to trust in the Lord. You know why? Because after almost 32 years of being saved and confessing him as my Lord and Savior, when I was 19 years old, back in June of 1988, the Lord has been faithful to see me through time and time and time again with the different circumstances that happened in my life, even through my own stupidity and sinning and falling down. He's picked me back up, and he's wiped me off, dusted me off, and continued on the way. That's what it means to trust him as Lord and Savior, that he is Lord every day of your life. And I trust that that is the case with you. And again, for those who, again, that have never made that decision, man, today is the day of salvation. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know the day of our death. Let's confess him as Lord and Savior now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for your word. It really is a straightforward message. Again, I really think of it as week two of understanding celebration of resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and understanding not only what he's done for us, his humility, his obedience, but how you exalted him and exalted his name, and that it's through him and through him alone that we are saved, and that everyone is going to have to bow the knee and confess to the glory of you. My prayer is that people will do that now. Not mocking the Lord, but trusting the Lord. As believers in Christ, help us to daily, actually, really trust in His name, not just for our salvation, but for every aspect of our life. Well, I know there's people that are suffering out there. I know there's people that are having a hard time where they are at home, they cannot work, and they don't know, you know, how much money they have left or if any to be able to buy food. I mean, there's a lot of concern that is out there. Father, there's no circumstance that You cannot provide in. And I pray that people would trust You, lean upon You, and understand the power of Your name. You are Lord, You are Jesus, You are Christ. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining me, and again, we'll see you next week as we continue on in the book of Philippians and really see that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Until next time, stay in the Word.